Boy, that's a great verse. All of what Jesus said to one purpose, that we would love one another. Continue in the love of God. Father, we love you. Thank you for all that you give to us. God, you're so good to us. God, I don't believe anyone here today suffered from the cold in their home because they didn't have enough fuel oil. I don't believe anyone today went home hungry because they didn't have enough food. Your provision is evident in our lives, and we give you praise for it. Thank you for salvation, full and free in Christ. Thank you that, Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Help us to continue in your love. Bless the preaching of your word tonight. Bless the truth trackers. Bless the communion service to follow. We love you. Lord, we praise you, for you alone are worthy of our praise. And Lord, I thank you most of all for dying on the cross for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we mentioned before, this is the closing message in our series on the word continue. Our first message was taken out of John 8:31, where Jesus said, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." And we looked at saw the need to continue reading and studying and hearing and contending for and doing the word of God. And here we are at the end of January, and I hope that you're still on track with your Bible reading. Amen. The devil would like nothing more for you to quit reading and studying your Bible. Amen. But God wants you to continue. If you're going to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, according to His own words, you need to continue reading the Word of God. Amen. In our second message, we talked about continuing in the grace of God. Acts 13:43 says that Paul and Barnabas, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And we talked about the need to continue in the serving grace of God, and the sacrificial grace of God, and the strengthening grace of God, and the simple grace of God. Last week we looked at the subject of continue in the faith of God. Acts 14:22 says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And we discovered that we can do that. We can continue by overcoming and by eating the Word of God and by fellowshipping and building and obeying and settling and sharing and praying and working and living and standing and fighting and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Tonight, our last lesson, our text is found in verse number 9. Look at it with me. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Tonight we're looking at the subject of continuing in the love of God. And can we say, by way of introduction, I'd like to examine what the Word of God has to say about the love of God. There are some objects of His love. Jesus Christ, what you say, what are some objects of God's love? Well, John 3:16 tells us that God loves the world. And you know who makes up the world? Sinners. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What is it that God loves? God loves the world. That's an object of His love. There's another object of His love, and that's you. Sir, ma'am, if you're a Christian, God loves you. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. He loves you. Amen. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, get this. The God of heaven, the Holy One, loves you. Amen? He loves you. Boy, you really get a hold of this, Brother Heath, when you become a parent. Really get a hold of this. And some of you that have had children that have gone the way of the prodigal, you have it. You have a hold of it even more. Because you know what? There's nothing that could make your children love you. Let me try that again. There's nothing that could make you not love your children. And listen, if you're saved, you're a child of God and He loves you. You know what Paul said in Galatians 2:20? He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. God loves sinners. God loves Christians. Listen, God loves the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for us. God not only loves you individually, but He loves all of us collectively. Amen. We're His church. Amen. I'm thankful for our building. But this building is not the church. You and I are the church. We're the church. Amen. The local assembly here in Jackson. You know what else we mentioned this morning? Another object of His love is not only sinners, not only Christians, not only the church, but 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Amen. I've given this illustration before. A man came to the preacher and he said, "Preacher, should I give my tithe if I give it grudgingly? Because the Bible says you're supposed to be a cheerful giver." And the preacher wisely said, "Yes, son, give your tithe, because then you'll only be guilty of one sin. You'll be guilty of grudging, but you'll not be guilty of robbing God." Amen. And I like that. Amen. Hey, if we're going to give, why not be cheerful about it? Listen, God gave all. All He wants is the tenth back and offerings and missions, things like that. Listen, who wouldn't want to cheerfully give to God? He loves you. You're a cheerful giver. You're an object of His love. You're a Christian. You're an object of His love. You're part of the church. You're an object of His love. If you're a sinner without Christ, you're an object of His love. Not only the objects of His love, but the description of His love. His love is great, Brother Herb. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." His love is great. According to Jeremiah 31:3, His love is not only great, but it's everlasting. He said, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Aren't you glad for that? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not pointing the finger, I'm confessing. Mary, so many times I let God down. And I think, you know what, I'm not worthy of God's love. And I look and say, you know what, though I'm not worthy, the Word of God has not changed. Amen? "I've loved thee with an everlasting love." By the way, let me just say this about this. There are times when you may not feel saved. I like what Martin Luther said about it. He said, "Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God, naught else is worth receiving. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John 6:47. When you don't feel saved, go back to the Word of God. Amen. His love is great. His love is everlasting. His love is inseparable. Romans 8:35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Then verse 37 through 39, my wife's favorite verses. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Thank God, it's inseparable. You can't get out of His love, even if you want to. That's why I believe once saved, always saved. Amen? Because His love is inseparable. How about some, not only the description of His love, not only the objects of His love, how about some expressions of His love? Well, we find one right in our text. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Did not our Savior do that for us? We read Galatians 2:20 already. It says, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Romans 5:8, you know it. "But God commendeth," He demonstrated His love for us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." There could be no greater expression of love than to die for another. To lose one's life for another. By the way, no mortal tongue, nor message, nor series of messages could possibly do justice to the topic of the love of God. Ephesians 3:18 and 19 puts it this way, "That ye may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge." Unknowable. How amazing is that? You know the song. Francis Lehman wrote it. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky, the love of God. How, Pastor, how do we continue in the love of God? How can we look at this topic and continue in God's love? Well, I believe our text here in John 15 and then into 16 can give us some principles that will help us do that. Number one, how do we continue in the love of God? By abiding in Christ's purpose. By abiding in Christ's purpose. Look at John chapter 15, verse 1. It says there, I am the true vine. And by the way, a great study in the Gospel of John. Look up every time Jesus said, I am. Look it up. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. One time he just said, before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews picked up stones because they knew what he meant. He was saying, I'm God. It's a great, great study. He says here, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Jump down to verse number 4, please. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Jump down to verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Abiding in Christ's purpose. Listen, the purpose of Jesus Christ in our lives is that we would bear fruit. Amen? That we would bear fruit. And by the way, a good tree produces good fruit, an evil tree produces evil fruit. Amen? You can't be a good tree and produce evil fruit, can't be an evil tree and produce good fruit. He wants us to produce eternal fruit for the glory of God, and it can only be done by the one who's abiding in Jesus Christ. Do you know you can't do it in your own strength, Brother Boston? You can't. You've got to be abiding. Just like the branch doesn't bear fruit by itself, it gets all its nutrients through the vine. Amen? You look at that tree, that apple tree, Mr. Sammons, it doesn't just produce apples off the branch. No, no, it's the trunk that brings up all the nutrients out of the soil. Amen? Jesus Christ is the vine, and we're the branches. I want you to notice in our text, when there's abiding, there's purging. Look at verse 2. Every branch that is in me, and by the way, those two words in me are key. That's a key. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Does that mean that person goes to hell? No, he's in me. Amen? He's in me. But God shelves a lot of Christians. There's a lot of Christians that are not being used, that have shipwrecked the faith. He says he puts them aside. But what does he say? And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Some of you keep a garden. I don't keep a garden. I don't have a green thumb. I have a brown thumb because I all wilt over. Amen. So I don't keep a garden. But some of you know as you get flowers and plants and whatnot, you know eventually you have to cut. Amen? You got to cut a branch here and there. I've seen the trees that hang over our house. I know some of those branches have to be purged. Do you know sometimes the Word of God, sometimes the man of God in your life cuts? And you can either draw back and be offended, or you can realize that God's doing a purging work in your life. Because you are bearing fruit, and He wants to use you to bear more fruit. Well, I just don't like the way Pastor gets so upset about this. I don't know why he's got to always pick on my sin. By the way, I don't go through my head and on Tuesday morning and saying, now let's see, whose toes can I step on this week? Whose sin can I preach on? By the way, if I just preach on my own, I'd have enough material from now till the Lord comes. Amen. But I don't think that. Amen. I want the Lord to guide me. And listen, if you're praying for me, and I know you are, and I get to preaching and you get your toes stepped on, praise God! Praise God that He cares enough to purge you. There's purging. Something else there is in verse 3. Look at it. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. There's not only purging, but there's cleansing. There's cleansing through the word of God. Amen? Thank God for that. There's cleansing, there's purging. Verse number 5, look at it. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You know what else there is? There's producing. There's producing. When you're abiding in Christ, you'll be producing fruit. And by the way, this doesn't mean that you walk up to somebody and say, hi, how are you? And they say, what must I do to be saved? Amen. That's not what I'm talking about here. You're just producing fruit consistently. By the way, if you sow enough good seed, you're going to be producing fruit. Amen. And we see that here. If you're abiding in Christ, there's producing and cleansing and purging. Something else there is at the end of verse 5. We mention it. For without me, you can do nothing. If you're truly abiding in Christ, you know what else there is? There's depending. Depending. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Listen, we can't trust in our own strength. We can't bear fruit in our flesh. We've got to be abiding in Christ, depending on Him. And we'll notice something else here. When there's abiding, fifthly, there's praying. Verse 7. And if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. How can we continue in the love of God? By abiding in Christ's purpose. Number 2. Not only abiding in Christ's purpose, but affection for Christ's people. Affection for Christ's people. Look at verse 17. What it says there, it says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Ladies and gentlemen, could I put this as a plain independent Baptist preacher? Can we just get the good old-fashioned loving folks? Can we just put our little differences and our petty preferences aside and just get back to loving one another? Amen? That's what we need. Listen, if we're going to continue in the love of God, it's going to come by having affection for God's people. You can't say, I love him whom I have not seen and not love him whom I've seen. Amen? Listen, get back to loving people. Don't be a grouch. Amen? We don't need grouches. Amen? We need Christians that love one another. Oh, I just don't like this and I just don't like that. And amen? Get back to loving people. You know, where love is thick, faults are thin. But where love is thin, well, they do this and they wear this and I don't see this. Fooey on that. Let's have affection for God's people. Amen? I know many of you do, but I think of Brother Bill Merrill that's not been able to be here. He needs to know that the people of God love him. Amen? He's discouraged. The devil's beating on him. Amen. He needs to know that God's people have affection for him. How do we do that? Well, first way I tell you that you need to have affection for God's people is by receiving the Savior. By receiving the Savior. Listen, there's a lot of people that don't love God's people because they're not saved. The Bible says that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Some people just need to get saved. Amen. Another group, though, they need to not only receive the Savior, we need to remember the source of love. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love Him, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another, verse 11 tells us. God's the source of love, and so we need to remember the source. Something else we need to do if we're going to love one another is we're going to have to reduce the squabbles. Reduce the squabbles. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Brother Horsch taught this lesson a couple weeks back. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Quit biting, quit devouring, and start loving. Amen? Listen, I know that's not a major problem here. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and we were just talking about how I'd like to see some things happen here. But I can tell you this, and praise God, I'm glad there's not little corners of this place where folks are having roast preacher or roast Sunday school teacher. Amen? Listen, reduce the squabbles. Reduce the squabbles. Get to loving people. Amen? I can imagine Jesus as he's looking at his disciples saying, you know what, Peter and John, you're completely different. But you need to love one another, men. John, Peter, you stick your foot in your mouth so much, I wouldn't be surprised if anybody couldn't love you. But John, you love him. And Peter, you know what? John's not as zealous as you are, but you love him. Amen? Listen, we're all different. We're not the same, but we're supposed to love one. We're supposed to have affection for God's people. Reducing the squabbles. Remembering the source. Receiving the Savior. How about recalling the standard right in our text? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. Affection for God's people. Abiding in Christ's presence. Number three, go over to John 16, verse 1. Acceptance of Christ's principles. Acceptance of Christ's principles. He says here, John 16, 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Can I say this? The principles of Christ in the wisdom of the world are like a wave and a breaker. They don't get along very well. I'm working on a series right now. At some point during this year, I know I'll preach it, called Puzzling Paradoxes. Puzzling Paradoxes. A paradox is a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, yet perhaps true. What's a paradox, Pastor Rich? Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that... Listen, that's a paradox, folks. What kind of a person loves their enemy? I'll tell you, someone that accepts Christ's principles. Amen? Someone that accepts Christ's principles. What's another one? Luke 9:24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Jesus was warning them that when difficult times come, and they were ahead, and they would come, that his disciples would need to accept the principles that they had learned from him. Listen, when we mentioned it before, when faith and feeling don't get along, stick with the book. Stick with the book. Amen. Acceptance of Christ's principles. How do I continue in the love of God, Pastor? Abiding in Christ's purpose. Affection for Christ's people. Acceptance of Christ's principles. I like this one. Assurance of Christ's power. Look at verse number 4 of John 16. John 16, verse 4. It says, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Again, Jesus is telling them that when persecution comes and when difficulty comes, to remember some things. To remember that Jesus Christ is all powerful. You know what Jesus Christ had, Mr. A? Jesus Christ had power over sickness. Amen? You remember so many miracles He did of those that were sick and diseased. He had power over nature. They were going across, toiling and rowing on the Sea of Galilee, and the storm was literally lifting up that boat. They thought they were going to die, and Jesus said, peace be still. And the whole storm stopped. Three different times, His disciples watched Jesus Christ raise somebody from the dead. You remember the story of Jairus' daughter, 12 years old. She's dead. And Jesus said, oh no, she's not dead. The maid sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. And what did He did? I say unto thee, arise. She rose up. You remember the story in Luke chapter 7 of the widow of Nain who had an only son that was dying. Not only was she a widow, now she was bearing her only son. And Jesus walked by, put His hand on the coffin and said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And then, of course, you remember in John chapter 11 when He walked up to a tomb and He wept because His friend was in that tomb, Mrs. Merrill. His friend was there. And He groaned in the Spirit and He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound came forth, hand and foot, in grave's clothes. Say, what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say, if we're going to continue in the love of God, we're going to have the assurance of Christ's power. You know what Jesus said in John 10:18? He said this, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And you know what Jesus said to His disciples when He left? He said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. You know what that means? We can have assurance of the power of Christ. We can be assured that we have, listen, we have access to the very power of Christ when the troubles come. When you don't feel like loving somebody, amen? Assurance of Christ's power to help you to love that person. It's accessible. Abiding in Christ's purpose. Affection for Christ's people. Acceptance in Christ's principles. Assurance of Christ's power. Number 5, attention to Christ's promises. Look at verse 23 of John 16. Verse 23 of John 16. It says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing." By the way, if you read verse 22, it tells you a little bit about that day. "And now, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again." Amen, church? I will see you again. "And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh it from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing." I have in the margin of my Bible, a day of no questions. When we see Jesus, we'll know as we're known, and we won't look through a glass darkly anymore. But we'll know face to face. But then verse 23, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Attention to Christ's promises. Not only abiding in Christ's purpose, affection for Christ's people, acceptance of Christ's principles, assurance of Christ's power, attention to Christ's promises. You say, where does it say that there, right there? It's those two words. We looked at them Wednesday night. Verily, verily. Verily, verily. 25 times in the Gospel of John, you can look it up, you will find the phrase, verily, verily. And I want to promise you something, ladies and gentlemen. It is when you read, when you dig into, when you study, when you pay attention to the promises of God, you realize how much you are loved by God. And when you realize how much that God loves you, you realize that He wants to continue, wants you to continue in His love. Wants you to continue. 2 Peter 1:9. Go there with me, would you? Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Hold your place there and John will come back there. 2 Peter chapter 1. I've had this verse on my heart part of last year and into this year. These verses in chapter 1. And I'm sure the Lord will help me to put together a message out of this verse. Look at verse number 9. It talks here about building your faith and that we add to our faith virtue and a virtue knowledge and knowledge temperance. And then, but something said here in verse 9, it's very interesting. It says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." You say, why is that, Pastor? I want you to jump up to verse 4. I'll tell you why. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." You show me somebody that's away from God. Show me somebody that's not continuing in the love of God. And I'll show you somebody, Brother Horst, that's not paying attention to Christ's promises. Is not paying attention to Christ's promises. Listen, again, when you realize how much He loves you and what He has promised you, how could we not continue in His love? My goodness. We're to pay attention to Christ's promises. Listen, there's so many in here, ladies and gentlemen. The promise of everlasting life. The promise of His abiding presence. You can keep going. The promise of power. The promise of faith in measure. The promise of grace when you need it. Amen. So many things that tell us that He loves us and He provides for us and He wants us to continue in His love. How can we continue in His love, Pastor? Abiding in Christ's purpose. Affection for Christ's people. Acceptance of Christ's principles. Assurance of Christ's power. Attention to Christ's promises. And then lastly, back in John chapter 16, verse 33. Go back there with me. John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me," there's that little two-word phrase again, "in me, ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Lastly, you can continue in God's love by having absolute peace through Christ's presence. Absolute peace through Christ's presence. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Go back just a few pages. Look at John chapter 14. How does He accomplish giving us this peace? Well, look at verse number 16 of John chapter 14. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you," how long, church? "Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Jump down to verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." How is it that the storm can be raging all around one of God's children, and they still seem to show the love of God to others evidently in their life? I'll tell you how. Absolute peace through Christ's presence. We mentioned it on Wednesday night. He's not here tonight, so I can pick on him. Amen. He'll probably listen to the message. I want to tell you what a blessing George Bolt says to me. You think about the difficulty that Brother George has gone through. And I want to tell you something. The love of the Lord is all around that man. How he loves God. How he loves God's people. Amen. How is it? How can he go through all that difficulty and all those surgeries? I promise you, it's absolute peace through Christ's presence. How is it that the martyr can look at the man who hates him with everything in him and say, "I forgive you. Go ahead and do what you need to do"? How is it that those Christian pastors in the Sudan that are literally executed for their faith can put their hand on the shoulder of that executioner and say, "It's all right. It's all right. God loves you"? I'll tell you how. Absolute peace through Christ's presence. When I think of a man who had Christ's presence on him, I think of David Livingston. I'll close with this. David Livingston, all he went through, buried his wife, literally had half of his arm ripped off by a lion. It's hard to be a doctor when you've only got one arm. And that's what he was. He was a medical missionary. But I think how he leaned on verse 20 of Matthew 28. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He said this about that verse. He said, "It's the word of a gentleman." God keeps His word. And He promised us absolute peace through His presence. Continue. Listen, continue in the Word of God. Continue in the faith of God. Continue in the grace of God. And continue in the love of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for all that You give to us. We pray that You would bless now in our invitation time. Lord, as we enter into our communion time, we pray that You'd be pleased. Lord, help us to continue in love. Lord, perhaps there are some today that, Lord, are fussing with the saints. Lord, I pray that You'd convict their heart of that. Lord, we just can't have that. Not if we're going to continue in Your love. We pray that You'd bless now in our invitation. Pray if there's someone here who needs to be saved tonight, that You'd speak to them so loudly that they'd not be able to turn You away. Perhaps somebody needs to be baptized or join our church. We pray that You'd bless. Let's stand together. Page 816 is our hymn of invitation tonight. "Have Thine Own Way, Lord."